Book 8. 1. For repressing vainglory, it serves to remember that it is no longer in your power to make your whole life, even from your youth onwards, a life worthy of a philosopher. It is known to many, and you yourself know also, how far you are from wisdom. Confusion is upon you, and it can now be no easy matter for you to gain the reputation of a philosopher. The conditions of your life are against it. Now, therefore, as you see how the matter truly lies, put from you all thoughts of reputation among men, and let it suffice you to live so long as your nature wills, though that be but the scanty remnant of a life. Study, therefore, the will of your nature, and be solicitous about nothing else. You have made many efforts and wandered much, but you have nowhere found happiness, not in syllogisms, not in riches, not in fame or pleasure, not in anything. Where, then, is it? In acting that part which human nature requires. How can you act that part? By holding principles as the source of your desires and actions. What principles? The principles of good and evil, that nothing is good for a man which does not make him just, temperate, courageous, and free. And that nothing can be evil which tends not to make him the contrary of all these. 2. Upon every action ask yourself, what is the effect of this for me? Shall I never repent of it? I shall presently be dead and all these things gone. What more should I desire if my present action is becoming to an intelligent and a social being, subject to the same law with God's? 3. Alexander, Caesar, Pompey, what were they compared with Diogenes, Heraclitus, Socrates? These knew the nature of things, their causes and their matter, and the minds within them were at one. As to the former, how many things they schemed for, and to how many they were enslaved. 4. Men will go their ways nonetheless, though you burst in protest. 5. Before all things, be not perturbed. Everything comes to pass as directed by universal nature, and in a little time you will be departed and gone, like Hadrianus and Augustus. Then scan closely the nature of what has befallen, remembering that it is your duty to be a good man. Do unflinchingly whatever man's nature requires, and speak as seems most just, yet in kindliness, modesty, and sincerity. 6. It is nature's work to transfer what is here into another place, to change things, to carry them hence, and set them elsewhere. All is change, yet is there no need to fear innovation, for all obey the laws of custom, and in equal measure all things are apportioned. 7. For every nature it is sufficient that it goes on its way and prospers. The rational nature prospers while it assents to no false or uncertain opinion, while it directs its impulses to unselfish ends alone, while it aims its desires and aversions only at the things within its power, and while it welcomes with contentment all that universal nature ordains. The nature of each of us is part of universal nature, as the leaf is part of the tree. The leaf, indeed, is part of an insensible and unreasoning system, which can be obstructed in its workings. But human nature is part of that universal system which cannot be impeded, and which is intelligent and just. Hence is meted out suitably to all our proper portions of time, of matter, of active principle, of powers, and of events. Yet look not to find that each several thing corresponds exactly with any other. Consider rather the whole nature and circumstances of the one, and compare them with the whole of the other. 8. You lack leisure for reading, but leisure to repress all insolence you do not lack. You have leisure to keep yourself superior to pleasure and pain and vainglory, to restrain all anger against the ungrateful, nay, even to lavish loving care upon them. 9. Let no man any more hear you railing on the life of the court, nay, revile it not to your own hearing. 10. Repentance is a self-reproving, because we have neglected something useful. Whatever is good must be useful in some sort, and worthy of the care of a good and honourable man. Now, such a man could never repent of neglecting some opportunity of pleasure. Pleasure, then, is neither useful nor good. 11. Of each thing ask, what is this in itself and by its constitution? What is its substance or matter? What is its cause? What is its business in the universe? How long shall it endure? 12. When you are reluctant to be roused from sleep, remember that it accords with your constitution and with human nature to perform social actions. Sleep is common to us with the brutes. Now, whatever accords with the nature of each species must be most proper, most fitting, and most delightful to it. 13. Constantly, and if possible on every occasion, apply to your imaginations the methods of physics, ethics, and dialectic. 14. Whomsoever you meet, say straightway to yourself, what are this man's principles of good and evil? For if he holds this or that doctrine concerning pleasure and pain, and the causes thereof concerning glory and infamy, death and life, it will seem to me neither strange nor wondrous that this or that should be his conduct. I shall bear in mind that he has no choice but to act so. 15. Remember that, as 'tis folly to be surprised that a fig tree bears figs, so is it equal folly to be surprised that the universe produces those things of which it was ever fruitful. It is folly in a physician to be surprised that a man has fallen into a fever, or in a pilot that the wind has turned against him. 16. Remember that to change your course and to follow any man who can set you right is no compromise of your freedom. The act is your own, performed on your own impulse and judgment, and according to your own understanding. 17. If the doing of this be in your power, why do it thus? If it be in another's, whom do you accuse, the atoms or the gods? To accuse either is a piece of madness. Therefore, accuse no one. Set right, if you can, the cause of error. If you cannot, correct the result at least. If even that be impossible, what purpose can your accusations serve? Nothing should be done without a purpose. That which dies falls not out of the universe. If then it stays here, here too it suffers a change, and is resolved into those elements of which the world, and you too, consist. These are also changed, and murmur not. 19. The horse, the vine, all things are formed for some purpose. Where is the wonder? Even the sun saith, I was formed for a certain work, and similarly the other gods. For what end are you formed? For pleasure? Look if your soul can endure this thought. 20. Nature has an aim in all things, in the end and surcease of them no less than in their beginning and continuance. It is even as a man casting a ball. Where then is the good for the ball in its rising? Where the harm in dropping? Where even is the harm when it has fallen down? Where is the bubble's good while it holds together? Where is the evil when it is broken? So it is with the lamp which now burns and anon goes out. 21. Turn out the inner side of this body and view it as it is. What shall it become when it grows old or sickly or decayed? The praiser and the praised, the rememberer and the remembered are of short continuance, and that in a mere corner of this narrow region, where, narrow though it may be, men cannot live in concord, no, not even with themselves. And yet the whole world is but a point. 22. Attend well to what is before you, whether it be a principle, an act, or a word. This, your suffering, is well merited, for you would rather become good tomorrow than be good today. 23. Am I doing aught? Let me do it in a spirit of service to mankind. Does aught befall me? I accept it and refer it to the gods, the universal source from which come all things in the chain of consequence. 24. The accompaniments of bathing, oil, sweat, filth, foul water, how nauseous are they all. Even so is every part of life, and everything that meets us. 25. Lucilla buried Verus, and soon followed him to the grave. Secunda saw the death of Maximus, and soon herself died. Epitinchanus buried Diotimus, and then Epitinchanus was buried. Antoninus mourned Faustina, and thereafter Antoninus was mourned. Sella buried Hadrian, and then Sella was buried. all go the same way